events that it is one of the most unjust wars that has ever been fought in the history of the world.
Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I'm here with my friend Robin from How I See the World, and at the end of the first hour, he was talking about 9/11 and other events, not denying that they were terror attacks, but that we really, really need to find out who are the real terrorists, because the official stories do not match up at all. And there's so much pointing towards the horrific truth that these are actually inside jobs done by our government against us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think what you are doing is fantastic, because the thing you're doing, you are just saying, be accountable for what you do, what your actions. You are asking mm-hmm. questions to the people that are there to protect us,
mm-hmm.
and they cannot defend themselves because the things they're up to is not pure and clean.
So they're very isolated, these people. I have a clip set up for you to show you that proves just how isolated and controlled they try to keep the stories, the fake shooting stories. In this case, it's about the Pulse nightclub, and I called the FBI, and it's a real eye-opener what she tells me. So you want me to just play that now?
Please do. Please do.
Well, let's see here. Minimize this. Okay, so the title of this video is I Call the FBI About Fake Staged Orlando Shooting PSYOP Lies. It has 60,630 views right now, so here we go. I'll play two short clips of this call.
I'm not a reporter. I'm an independent fact checker for truth. You could call me that, I guess.
Okay, so but you're not with a media outlet.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't work for any news station or anything like that. I'm just somebody out in California wondering about some things.
Sure, and I understand. Unfortunately, we're kind of overwhelmed by inquiries from the media, and this is the press office, so if you would like to send us your questions, I can try to get back to you, but right now we're just taking calls from the media on this.
So you hear her say they only take calls from the media because those are the terrorists that are putting out the fake story. So toward the end of this video, I'm going to play the rest of this clip. It's just under a minute. Let me just find the exact right spot. Here we go. Okay.
If you go look at the footage of victims being carried down the street by other civilians, they're actually heading in the direction of the nightclub. Why are they carrying victims toward the nightclub?
I don't want to discuss this anymore. These victims are real, and there really are 48 people, 49 people dead.
Let's address my question that I'm asking you about the victims being carried towards the bar. Why are they being carried towards the scene of the crime?
I think that you have bad information.
No, you can see it for yourself on videos online. Go look at the news footage. I'm not making things up here. I'm telling you what I'm telling. You're telling me to go to mainstream media, and I'm telling you what I'm seeing on mainstream media. Is victims being carried towards the scene of the crime?
And I just disagree with you. I'm sorry. I'm not seeing what you're saying.
But you're disagreeing with mainstream media, which is where you're sending me.
So basically, she's telling me that they're only taking calls from mainstream media. Only trust mainstream media, but I'm telling her what I'm seeing on mainstream media, and she's saying, I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I've seen mainstream media articles saying victims of Pulse nightclub being carried away from the scene of the crime, and they're actually going in the direction of the scene of the crime. Mm-hmm. You can see the sign, and they're heading in the direction. You know, there's footage of one of them being carried down the street, and then when they think they're off camera range, they put him down. And he's standing up on his own. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes on and on and on. But that's, you know, so that was the FBI. And, you know, those are very nerve-wracking calls to make. But my anger is more than me worried about being nervous. You know, I don't want them to think that they can do this and get away with it. And, you know, that woman, she doesn't know. She's not compartmentalized into what's really going on. So she doesn't have a clue. So you have to remember that if people make phone calls, that not everybody they're going to talk to is in on it. You know, they're clueless. So they're part of the people who are trying to wake up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. This is the thing that is so hard maybe to understand, that in these operations, even police in the street or people driving the ambulances and so on, often they can be totally unaware of what's going on. They're just doing their duty. They're doing their best, but they don't know that they're being played as well. And very often also, like when it comes to these hospitals, just before these things happen, they're evacuated for some reason or transferred so that these exact emergency rooms or whatever is cleaned out so that they're used for this operation. And security personnel, other people, this very evening when it happened, just like with the CCTV cameras, are turned off. They are given extra holidays or days off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and I also believe that often when you see, for instance, the police on site, their order, the normal, honest police officers, they're there being told, shut off that street, make sure nobody enters, you know, or stop any car coming into this area. So they're looking like they were part of it, but they're not. They're just doing their job. But
right.
The thing, so I often speak directly to people in uniform, trying to wake them up to what's going on, because they're the ones protecting this from the rest of us.
You know?
Had it not been for them there, people could have just gone really close and said, hang on a second, that's ketchup. That's not real blood.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And but that's why they're there, to keep us away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't have a clue what's going on. They're just told, you have this one specific job, keep people away or block this road. They don't know what's going on. They believe what they're told. So if they're told there's a shooting, then they're going to believe there's a shooting going on. You know, why would they doubt that?
Yeah,
especially in our life, Florida, there's shootings all the time, you know? So anyway, I have more clips. A lot of what I did with Orlando was I called the hospital a lot. Because there was a very interesting story put out that the Dr. Joshua Corsa was wearing his bloody shoes in the hospital for months after the shooting occurred, because he wanted to keep wearing the same shoes that had 49 different DNA samples on them in a hospital setting. He's on camera wearing the shoes in the hospital, saying that he's wearing these bloody shoes in the hospital while he's working as a doctor, as a surgeon. And I thought, wait a minute, that's a huge breach of sanitary protocols in a hospital setting. You can't do that. So I legitimately was calling the hospital, asking questions about this doctor who's, you know, contaminating the whole hospital, traipsing around in there with these bloody shoes on. And really telling, like you said, you know, you just let them expose themselves. So I call them, and I'm going to play you a clip here of this is well, who they sent me to when I called with that valid concern. And just mind you, I didn't mention anything about the Pulse nightclub shooting being fake, nothing at all. I said not one word about that. I was merely asking as a concerned citizen about a doctor wearing bloody shoes in a hospital for many months afterwards. And they sent me to the media relations director, Keena Lewis. And this is what she had to say. This is really telling. Now, remember, I called about bloody shoes.
Keena Lewis. Hi, Ms. Lewis. Thank you for answering. I tried you a minute ago. I'm calling. I was given your number by Don at the hospital. I had inquired last week about Dr. Joshua Corsa wearing the bloody shoes, and I was wondering what is going on with that story. That story is also in the Washington Post. featuring a picture of him. I explained to Don that I just find it really quite remarkable that a doctor's allowed to wear bloody shoes in the hospital for 6 weeks. And she said to call her back, and then I did today, and she gave me your number.
And I'm sorry, I haven't missed your name.
My name's Robin, I'm sorry, and I'm recording this phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Robin, you know, we are aware of recent ludicrous allegations that the Pulse nightclub tragedy was a hoax. Teams of caregivers at Orlando Regional Medical Center cared for 44 patients, 9 of whom died, did not survive that night, the morning of June the 12th. The accusation that the tragedy was a hoax is not only false, it is inexcusable and serves to re-victimize family members and individuals who've already suffered injuries and catastrophic loss.
Ma'am, I can hear. Hello? Wow, did you see that, people? Holy.
I cut it off just in time. I was going to swear. So this woman was reading a script, very obviously. I wasn't even talking about the Pulse nightclub shooting being a hoax. She's assuming that that's what I'm calling out because she knows that it's a hoax. So anybody questioning anything about the Pulse nightclub shooting, and my question was very legitimate about bloody shoes being worn in a hospital setting. That's a very legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. She went into basically cover her ass mode, protect the hospital in this lie, and read me that script about this allegations of the Pulse nightclub shooting being a hoax. I had nothing to do. I wasn't calling about that at all. I was calling about the bloody shoes and her saying what she said. That really is very telling. And plus, for them to send me with that concern to a media relations director is extremely telling. You know, she's controlling the story, basically. So that was a real eye-opener, that phone call. I spoke to her again after that, and, you know, they started catching on what I was doing, and they wouldn't talk to me anymore. I called a nurse. Her name was Chris. The first time I talked to her, it was about the bloody shoes. And she was very nice. I have a clip, short clip, not even a minute, of her talking to me about this. Very helpful. And then I have a second clip when she got wind of what I was doing and who I was. And then she was very rude to me. So you want me to play those clips now?
Please do.
Okay, here's the first one where she's nice. And she wouldn't give me her last name, which is really unprofessional. You know, you're working in a hospital. You don't, what is she hiding from, you know? So here we go.
In the meantime, I can just say that very often there are shoes involved. It's very strange. With these terror attacks, there are left shoes behind in the middle of the street. I mean, that is not the first thing I would do if somebody was shooting at me to sit down, take my shoes off, and then run. But very often you will find these sneakers or tennis shoes right in the center of these images. And I would humbly suggest that we're looking at product placement. Very often it's Nike, Coca-Cola is there as well. It's when you see these photos from different of these attacks, look right in the middle of the photo where they're super sharp. And you will see also in areas like at the Charlie Hebdo, for instance, where these people are being said to have been killed. The only photo from the crime scene where you can see anything where there's a blood puddle, right next to it, there's a bag saying Puma. And you can see the chair is put on top of the blood. I mean, the whole thing is staged. And the thing that catches you while you're so emotionally open looking at, oh my God, the horror, these poor people have been killed. And then you're looking straight at the logo.
Yeah.
Product placement.
Yeah. That's really pathetic to do, to try to make money off of these things, you know, it's insane. So I have the clip ready here. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
All right.
I don't want to say any more than that. So I'm just a person who's concerned. I'm not affiliated with any hospitals. I'm not a doctor. I'm nothing like it. I'm just a guy who saw this and said, this doesn't sound right at all. Why is this on so many different newspaper articles? I mean, it's on so many. It's not just one fluke. You know, it's the doctor himself is talking about it. So I'm very, very concerned and curious, and this is very alarming to me. So you're under the impression that there's no way a doctor would be allowed to wear bloody shoes in a hospital for 6 weeks, right? I mean, that's kind of common sense.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an infection control issue for sure. So.
No, she just said it's an infection control issue for sure. And that was when she was being nice and she didn't understand that I was, you know, investigating the Pulse nightclub shooting. So when I called her a second time, this is how she treated me. Yeah.
She sounds quite quiet.
Well, it's buffering for some reason. Poor Chris. Caught wind of what I was doing, and that was the end of that.
So the story, it said that there were blood from 49 victims on the same shoes.
49 victims.
Yeah, and blood from all of them.
Went to that same hospital, which is also unbelievable, you know. I mean, when you have that many victims at once, you would be airlifting people to other hospitals. You definitely have ambulances. There are no ambulances at the Pulse nightclub shooting.
And also in Orlando, there were multiple different companies with ambulances, not just from this hospital. And there was no one, an ambulance, except for the one you spotted.
Somebody brought to my attention that ambulances are a private company. So it's much harder to get them to play along in such a fraud. That's why there are no ambulances. That's why you don't see any ambulances in Melbourne. That's why the ambulances in Sandy Hook were at the firehouse and not at the school, because they could be told to go there for any other reason, you know, and kept sequestered at the firehouse and not at the school, where they would see that there are no bodies to be brought out, you know. And I mean, there were paramedics at Sandy Hook that were told they couldn't go up to the school. Real actual paramedics were answering the call, you know, who were hearing what was going on. So anyway, here's that clip now. This is the second time I'm calling that same woman who was very helpful and nice to me a few days later. And this is how she then treated me.
This is Chris. Can I help you?
Oh, hi, Chris. This is Robin. I called you last week in quarantine.
You did, Robin. Yes, you did.
Yes, hi.
I actually have no comment, I prefer that you destroy my number. Please don't call back.
Okay, I'm calling about a dress code policy issue. It's a very serious issue. It's about Joshua Corsa wearing bloody shoes. So why would you not want to address that situation? I'm very curious here. I'm really very confounded by this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm also very aware of recent allegations and comments regarding the Pulse event being incorrect, false litigation, and I'm telling you that I have no comment. It was real, and we would prefer that, we don't further victimize anybody who was involved in that event. So I'm going to hang up now. Thank
you. Chris.
So that's what happened with that call. So again, these people know that this thing never happened. So like I said, with Keena Lewis, as soon as you start questioning them about anything having to do with Pulse nightclub, even if it is a legitimate concern, like a doctor wearing bloody shoes, they're going to go into, cover-up mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was basically trying to memorize her script as well with that second call. So, and then she hung up on me. I get a lot of that. I actually try to make, sometimes when I make a phone call video, it's been a while that I've done these. I try to ask them beforehand, please don't hang up on me. I want you to hear what I have to say. Because I want them to, to know what's going on. I'm going to read you something here briefly. This is the definition of omission law that people maybe aren't aware of. Omission is a failure to carry out or perform an act. Omission is a neglect of duty, law imposes a duty on every person to take adequate action to prevent a foreseeable injury. In criminal law, omissions may give rise to lawsuits and will constitute a guilty act if a person breaches his duty. So all of these people who are being told and given evidence that there's fraud taking place with this shooting are guilty of omission because they're not investigating it. You know, when I call a sergeant or the FBI and I tell them something's wrong here, they should be investigating that. They should be looking into it. No matter what their capacity is there, they should do something about it because that's their job. They're supposed to serve and protect us, not psychologically terrorize us with fake shootings and then steal our money and extort it, you know. So they're all guilty of omission. They're all breaking the law in more ways than just one. So I just wanted to throw that out there so people understood that.
I think it's really important what you just pointed out, because we are at a point in history where it's not okay not to do anything, because it's out there. There's so much information out there that it's, as a grown-up person, there's no way that you can, as an excuse, I didn't know. Especially people like that, it's their job to inform themselves. So it's their duty.
Yep, that's exactly right. And these people aren't doing their duty because they know a lot of people I call, they're compartmentalized out of the picture. They don't understand. I did, one of the things I did when I called a hospital at one point was I asked about Joshua Corsa, and they said that he was part of Michael Cheatham's team, and he's also one of the Pulse doctors. So they were like, he was under the umbrella of another main doctor that was involved in this fraud. And there was even some confusion with the person I was talking to as to where he was or where he could be found. And it was just, it's all very telling when you start looking into this stuff, but they don't expect people to do that, you know?
But very, very often, my experience when it comes to victims and people involved in these things are that once you really start digging, many of them are phantom identities. You know, you go there, they're said to have been killed. I've been in cemeteries in Holland, in Denmark, in Sweden, looking for people. Where are they? I haven't been able to find them. You know, like the soldier that was said to have, there were two black Muslims that are said to have chopped the head of an English soldier in Woolwich in London a week before the Bilderberg meeting, making the whole media attention go that direction.
Right, of course.
We haven't been able to find this soldier, if he even existed. You know, Nick Collerstrom, he sent money to the, what is it called, name and register service, whatever, I can't remember what it's called in England, and asked for his birth certificate or death certificate. And they refunded the money saying, very sorry, there no such person exists. Same with some of the victims from the Bataclan, Nick Alexander, a guy who was murdered there, money sent in, money sent back. Sorry, no such person, you know. We have two victims from the Bataclan massacre, two Spanish guys, where people from the Spanish government, I live in Spain, called the parents and said, we're so sorry, we have to tell you that your son, they did this with two different families, your son was brutally murdered in Paris. And then an hour later, the sons called home and said, hi, mom, how are you doing? They're alive. One woman, a female suicide bomber that was part of this whole thing in the Paris attacks, they say, and where it was filmed that she blew herself up, I think in Belgium, in an apartment in Belgium at nighttime, and all lots of photos in global media about this female suicide bomber. She's alive. She was interviewed in Morocco. She says, I have no idea. Why did they choose me? Why did they use my identity?
Yeah, they screw up. Like I said, they're humans. And what, you know, that happened at Sandy too. One of the initial child victims was a real girl who was alive and well in another state. And the mother just happened to see her daughter's face on Facebook or somewhere as a dead victim. And, you know, that remained in place for weeks after that, after she, you know, called and complained. And I mean, these people are, they just, you know, who knows? They're either, I think a lot of times they, with children, they use either pictures of themselves when they're younger or pictures of their other child that when they were younger, or they're just photoshopping images in, and, you know, it's just all phony. But like you said, if you start digging into it, you're going to get your answers. And just unfortunately, most people don't dig.
Yeah, no, because just because they're flowers, please understand that if this is staged, if a false flag terror attack is staged where there's phantom victims and there were no real victims, I claim I've done hundreds of interviews, 2-hour interviews where we've debunked so many of these step by step by step. So if there was no real victims, where did the flowers come from? Where did all these notes and teddy bears and candles come from? They're part of the operation. They're part of there to get your emotions going. This is the whole thing. It's a psyop that goes together with it. So just because there are candles and flowers there, I went to Bataclan just a few months after it happened, you know, undercover with a photographer. We went to all the different cafes where the shootings had said to have taken place and so on. There were hardly any flowers outside the Bataclan at all. And they were said, was it 89 victims? I can't remember now. I mean, so many of these people that were said, and then where are the funerals? Where are the families? Where?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of flowers are also left by the people, you know, just civilians who don't know. They think it really happened. Yeah. They feel sad. And that's where the terrorism comes into play. They're being terrorized. Their hearts are breaking. They're very sad. And nobody died. Nobody was shot. Mm. And they're digging into their wallets to buy flowers and candles and weeping on street corners. And nothing happened. It's preposterous. You know, if you look into the Pulse nightclub victims, you'll find time and time again, sorry, no record of a burial, no record of a grave site.
Mm.
Over and over and over again. There's video of family members laughing at the funeral. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It really is amazing.
And if it was only one event, that's one thing. But we're seeing it repeatedly again and again and again. It's like now, oh God, I can't even get my energy up, you know, when another one of these happens. And it's not only me saying it, we have many, many people pointing these things out. And also Judge Napolitano, he went out publicly and said that all national terror attacks for the last, I don't know how many years, had all been sponsored, trained, and financed by the FBI. Somehow were they involved in all of them. Robert Steele, former CIA employee, whistleblower, he also says there is no such thing as real terror. It's inside jobs. It's state-sponsored terrorism, and you are the victim of it.
Right. Here's something that people need to realize. If there was even one real mass shooting, they wouldn't have to fake any of them, right? If they were really happening, why would you have any fake ones at all? They're just not happening. You know, they want everybody to be terrified to go out in the world and think they're going to get their head blown off at a bus stop or a Starbucks or something. It's not going to happen, you know, not from ISIS or it could be some deranged lunatic. Who knows? You know, that's a different story altogether. But these mass shootings, sorry. I mean, it's good news, right? All these people aren't dying.
Do you know the very first mass shooting was in 76, I think his name was Walt Whitman, a military guy who said to have, he went into, was it San Antonio, the university up in the tower, and started shooting at people randomly. You know, that was the very first one. And I loved it. I mean, he carried all of these weapons up there. I think he put an axe and even a compass. I mean, when you're up in a tower, I love that. So he knew for sure where he was. And people saw there were guns firing in different directions at the same time.
Yeah.
But after that, that was the birth of SWAT teams.
Oh, really?
That was where the first SWAT team was born. And now, when you see now, I mean, you can't even, if you don't pay your rent, people will soon arrive with SWAT teams at your home in armored vehicles. I mean, it's so over the top, and it's all based on fake terrorism.
Right.
Fake terrorism. All of the body scanners, all of this heightened security crap, all of these CCTV cameras that you are paying millions for to control you is based on lies.
And all this stuff works for them when they need it. But when we need the proof with these cameras everywhere, it's never there. But if they need their, you know, they're taking pictures of you driving too fast on the freeway. They have cameras which can snapshot you in your car, and they can see you in your car driving and your license plate number, and they send that to you with proof with your ticket. Well, geez. So that's pretty advanced, right? Mm-hmm. So where are all these images of these things taking place that prove that they actually happen? They're just not there because they're not taking place.
And then you have this building called the Pentagon, which is only the most secure building in the world. I don't. How many cameras do you think there would be on a building like that, CC? I mean, they would be in the thousands, I would say, and yeah, not one. Where is the footage?
Right.
Where is? Just give me one. Except from that gas station where you see somebody that is not even half the size of a real plane goes into and hits this building.
Yeah. Well, this is a huge thing with me. I have a couple of videos or a few videos on the Pentagon, because in the footage they finally released 6 years later or 5 years later, you can actually see the missile enter the frame of the footage. You can see the cone come in, and then of course there's a cut and then another cut. And on the second cut, you can actually see the white exhaust of the missile that was fired into the Pentagon. There's no airplane. You know, these people in this movement, this Israel did it movement, they want everybody to think Israel did 9/11, because who can you go after if Israel did it? You can't do anything about that, right? So anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine, is the Pentagon thing. It's so obviously a missile. And the Shanksville airplane that allegedly buried itself in the ground miraculously when it hit the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on 9/11. Popular mechanics said it liquefied. That's the actual word they used. It liquefied. And it's a hole in the ground. It's just a hole. There's nothing else. It's just absolutely unbelievable.
You know, when I tried with my daughter, she was 11 when I told her. I told her the official story of 9/11. And she was like, "Dad, why are you lying to me? I'm 11. I'm not a child anymore. I know you're lying. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all." I said, "But that is what grown-up people believe. They even fight about it." He said, "You're lying to me. Don't do that." For a child, without the brainwashing, it's so obvious. Absolutely no way could it be done.
Right. Yeah. It's very obvious. 9/11 is just so obvious. You know, these people should be in prison for life.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're getting away with that. I mean, they're not in a way, because we do know, but they also are, because they're still rich and out in the world and living their wonderful life, you know. And what, Cheney's had 800 heart surgeries now, something like that. I don't, these people just keep living on and on and on.
But I think also what is important to understand is that many people are looking at 9/11 as in sort of like an isolated incident. No. The people who carried it out are still there doing a lot of things to us, only because we're allowing it.
Right.
If everybody did like you and called these hospitals in the thousands, the authorities, the government in the thousands, and just saying, "Listen, I pay you to do your job. Do it. That's the only thing I ask. Do it. Look into it, solve this," the whole thing would come to a screeching halt right away.
Yeah, I talk about that in some of my videos, that the more of us doing this, the more people holding them accountable and demanding that they do their job, the better it is. And it also protects all of us, because they can't come after thousands and thousands of people making phone calls. You know, they can't. They're going to have to do something to prevent that from happening. So they'll have to, you know, we're always making them work, which, you know, that makes me happy. We're always keeping them busy. I mean, the shills are always out there trying to debunk everybody, and all they can do is make you seem like you're a shill or make you seem like you're stupid. Or, I mean, they can never prove you wrong, so they have to attack you personally, and that's very telling in and of itself. Yeah, so it's crazy.
It's like I normally don't get a lot of these attacks, but sometimes it's like with people with a profile image, it's like somebody with a paper bag over their head or something like that. I mean,
I can tell, It's very obvious. If these people, and you know, a lot of people on YouTube have like one or two subscribers and they're not shills, but most of the ones who are spreading disinformation, if you go look at their channel, they have one subscriber and nothing else going on their channel. It's very obviously a sock puppet account. And there are many of them out there. So let's not give shills any more attention now.
No.
Not anymore. No.
Yeah.
I have another clip set up here where I call the Florida, it's called Equality Florida Action, and they were somehow involved with raising funds for Pulse victims. And I should probably just tell you that this is another one of those things about the Pulse nightclub fake shooting that completely obliterates the story. I mean, this is an impossibility. And there's one of the alleged victims' name is Norman Cassiano. And his story is he was shot four times by this MCX Sig Sauer, which I explained a little while ago, turns your organs to jelly and fragments inside your body. So that's massive, major damage. First of all, he's in the nightclub, shot, and he's still in there for who knows how long, an hour or so. He would have bled to death. His story is he comes out of the hospital and gets into an ambulance. He's put on a stretcher. Yet there's footage of him being carried down the sidewalk across the street in the direction of the Pulse nightclub. Norman Cassiano was discharged from the hospital, the Orlando Regional Crisis Actor Medical Center, the very next day. The very next day. That is impossible. There is absolutely no way that that could even ever have happened. Four times by that gun. He's also in the hospital the night of the shooting, giving an interview wearing a baseball cap, and he's perfectly lucid, clear-eyed. You know, he's not on drugs. He's sitting up in bed. I mean, that's how preposterous this is. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk to this man here. I'll play this clip. It's almost 2 minutes. I'm trying to wake him up is what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to do it in a way that prevents him from hanging up on me too quickly. Okay. Should I play it now?
Please do, Robin.
Okay.
It's even better with sound.
Oh, come on. Why am I having trouble now?
The X, high velocity.
Yeah, I'm not, I didn't get into all the details of that because I wasn't in the Orlando area. We had different staff members that were in Orlando that went over there. And then Nadine Smith, who was the CEO, was over there for several weeks.
Okay. Well, the gun that that he used, well, first they told us it was an AR-15, then they changed it to the Sig Sauer MCX. It fired the .223 bullet, which is very powerful, high-velocity bullet. And when you can find ballistic videos on the internet to see the damage that it does, when it goes into the ballistics gel, it fragments all over. I mean, it goes in about 6 inches deep, and it fragments little tiny pieces all throughout. So Norman Cassiano, one of the shooting victims, took four of those bullets in his back. So my question, I just want to ask you, how long do you think he was recovering in the hospital? I'm just curious what you think what kind of recovery that would be.
Personally, I would think it would be horrendous.
It would be what?
Never ending.
It's pretty, I mean,
if
that's pretty
painful. bullet to your back and that shatters throughout your back, that's going to be a lifetime nightmare.
Yeah. So what would you think if I told you Norman Cassiano was discharged from the hospital the very next day?
I can't comment on that. I'm not the doctor. I didn't see him. I wasn't there. So
I know,
you're asking me a question that's, I really can't say anything. I mean, it's shocking, of course, one day four bullets came back, but I just can't imagine. There were other people in there for a long time that doctors would release somebody the next day. Just seems odd, but
I'll stop it there. So you heard, I love it when I tell him that Norman Cassiano was discharged the very next day and he goes dead silent because he's like totally shocked by that. Because his mind is now processing that information and he can't process it because that's not reality. And then what happens is his cognitive dissonance kicked in.
Yeah.
When I started getting into it more and he was just saying, oh, I wasn't there because they don't know, they can't, it's hard to process. So that was kind of a dump on him, but I was trying to report to him that these GoFundMe accounts are fraudulent, you know. And that
who was this person you were talking to?
He was with Equality Florida Action. They were involved in, I'm not saying they're fraud, I'm just saying they were involved in accepting donations for the Pulse victims. And I really don't think they're not like the GoFundMe accounts where they just let this stuff happen all the time. I mean, I reported GoFundMe accounts with irrefutable evidence and they still let the account go and they keep letting them take money. So I'm not saying Equality Florida Action is guilty or that they're doing this on purpose at all. So, but you know, they need to know that it's fraud.
Yeah. But his reaction seemed very natural at first when he was stunned. He wasn't prepared for that at all.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Yeah. I mean, somebody shot by that would be in the hospital for a very, very long time. There would be so many different surgeries going on. They wouldn't be talking about it in bed the night before, saying, Norman Cassiano says in his bed, well, the bullets missed all my organs and my spine. They don't miss organs. They turn everything in there to jello. The force is so powerful and it rips right through you, you know. They don't just go inside and just sit there. I mean, it's cartoon. They're talking like cartoon.
Yeah. I just want to comment also that if you don't believe in this type of evil behind these operations, just listen to how you just described that ammunition. Who comes up with something like that? I mean, what kind of mind would come up with ammunition like that that is aimed for other human beings? You see, the mentality is just, it's sickening. And I think everyone in the gun industry as well, or the so-called defense industry, I mean, not that the U.S. has to defend itself against anyone because you're the ones attacking everybody else, but has to look themselves in the mirror and say, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that is not a weapon to defend yourself with. That is a weapon, a massacre weapon.
And they want to have all those weapons. They don't want us to have any.
No, I know.
We can have a handgun, that's fine, but what can a handgun do against a gun like that? They can rapid fire bullets that can obliterate you, you know. That's what they want. But, you know, people need to understand, no matter how many guns they grab, if everybody gave up all their guns, the truth of the matter is criminals are always going to have guns. There are always going to be criminals and gangs and mafia and bad people that can get guns and will use them, and the rest of us will just be sitting ducks without any protection whatsoever. And that's, you know, that's the sad reality of the case.
This is why I'm totally a nonviolent person. I stand for nonviolence. At the same time, since I know the mentality and the agenda of the power behind the New World Order, I say, do not give up your weapons. Keep them. Don't use them, but keep them.
Right.
Keep them. because they want to strip you bare down to the bone before they dare to attack you. I mean, it's so, they're such extreme cowards.
Yeah.
I mean, with the arsenal they already have, it's ridiculous. The so-called police in the U.S. or the, or these different security firms and agencies. I mean, my God, they're like, they so many weapons that makes other countries look like a joke, and yeah. still they need you to give them give up your own. It's
The United States has military bases all over the entire world, like in the hundreds.
Yes, thank you. I know.
Yeah, and I mean, Israel is basically just another United States military depot, pretty much. I mean, we give them, we give Israel $10.3 million every single day in military aid. And how much do you think we give Palestine? Zero.
Robin, could you please repeat those numbers and just let it sink in? Per day, remember the situation in the States now with homeless people and many yeah. people struggling financially. And then please give the numbers again per day.
To per day, down to 10.3 million. $10.3 million every day is what we actually are giving Israel. You know, we give them a lump sum every year, but it breaks down. And we've been doing this since 1949, giving Israel military financial aid.
And please ask yourself once again, why? And also see what are they doing to Palestine? I mean, it's said to be a conflict. It's said to be an ongoing armed conflict. It is not. You go down there. I've been into these areas. They are dead poor people behind walls, mm-hmm. often with no hospitals, no water supplies, hardly any food, hardly anything. And then a super high technology war power that yeah. just comes in. Somebody throws a rock over the wall. They go in with F-16 fighters and bomb the living bejesus out of them. And yeah. then it said,
not a war.
It's not a war. It is not a war. It's mass murder of a whole population. And it's been going on for a long, long time. And we have been totally neglecting it. Just, you know, give me the remote, change the channel. Even funding it. This is the thing. You are funding it. I am fun. I am not actually. But these type of things, it's from your money. Your tax money is used to bomb and totally, oh God, I feel
it's terrible.
When you really start seeing, let it sink in, it's just, how can we accept it?
Yeah.
How?
Americans, politicians, they're always pro-Israel. Trump is the same way, you know, we'll protect Israel if we have to. I mean, it's always, when Cruz was running for president, which was ridiculous because he's not even American. He's not even from America. But anyway, he had a whole website and it said on the very front of the website, very big, bold letters, stand with Israel. What is that about? I mean, it's kind of obvious, you know. I mean, it's just, it's really sad. But like you said, we have so many needs for that kind of money. I mean, we give Israel billions and billions of dollars since 1949. We would have no problems here in America.
Just we wouldn't stopping have
that. Homeless people. We would have universal health care. We would have all kinds of things in place. It would be wonderful, magnificent, healthier atmosphere. People would be happier, making more money. But no, we're giving all that money to Israel. It's a tragedy.
I mean, just by stopping that expense, you could turn the U.S. on its feet again.
Yeah. Well, they can do that anyway. I mean.
Yeah, but you know, also Benjamin Netanyahu, when he was, in the U.S. giving a speech, there were, I believe, there was the 25 standing ovations, which was almost double what Obama ever had, but it was Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah. What does that tell you again? There's something going on behind the scenes that are totally different to the official story, totally upside down.
Absolutely. And he was in the U.S. Congress, right? That was where Netanyahu came. And that wasn't the first time either. So that alone is very telling, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he even said that 9/11 was good for Israel. I mean, Israel benefited greatly from 9/11. They're definitely involved, but
big time! I'll tell you, big time.
But yeah. Well, that said, for me, it's, you know, I like to say on record, 9/11 was an inside job, and Israel involved, Saudi Arabia's involved. Who knows who else is involved? But it is first and foremost the people responsible for that are the United States government, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that is how you see the world, and I thank you, Robin. I really thank you for taking the time to speak to us and also show how it is possible to make a difference. I think you have made an incredible impact in such a simple way. So simple, so simple. And this is what I love as well. They've got billions, they've got armies, they've got weapons, and they fear you. They fear you. They fear people like us because we mess with them, because the truth is so powerful. This is what I love, the truth, because it fears no investigation and it stands so pure and so strong. The only thing you need to do, aim it and use it, you know, but it takes balls. It takes a lot of courage sometimes, and you have shown it. I applaud you and I salute you for what you've done.
Well, thank you very much. And back at you for what you're doing. You know, the lies can be proven wrong. You can easily disprove lies, but you can't disprove truth.
That's
it's so transparent when you do it. When you try to do that, it just falls apart.
It's like what Mahatma Gandhi said, even if you're in the minority of one, the truth is still the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. I like that.
Listen, Robin, would you mind giving out your website and so on again, and how people can contact you or support you or help you or whatever?
I don't have links for donations or anything like that. I'm not doing that right now. I haven't monetized my YouTube channel. I'm really just wanting to get information out to the world. I want to wake people up, because the more of us that are awake and aware of this happening, the less they can do it, the less powerful it's going to be. So I'm How I See the World on YouTube. That's How I See, all spelled together, space, the world altogether. And then I have a Sandy Hook website called honor.info. It's honr.info. And it's all free. There's all kinds of information there. And I just want people to keep sharing truth. And be fearless if you can, please. We've got to wake up the world.
We sure do. And on the other side, I want to share a beer with you once we've done that. It's going to be a good day once we transcended this whole thing.
You're always welcome here.
Thank you so much. In the meantime, Robin, thank you ever so much. And I hope to see you soon. And please carry on with what you're doing. It really is making a difference, I tell you. The time when you doubt yourself and you feel afraid of doing something, do it for the rest of us. It is extremely appreciated.
Yes. Well, thank you. I will. I'll keep going. And you keep going too.
Try and stop me.
I wouldn't dare.
Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize.
Coup d'etat in slow motion. Connecting the dots between the assassinations of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, JFK, Robert Kennedy, and John Lennon. Now available on Amazon and lightonconspiracies.com. Coup d'etat. in slow motion.